Hey there, welcome to the podcast. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to be back here with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. I made it to day two, so it's really great to be able to continue this. Thanks again for the comments. I'm really grateful for the many nice words that you had to say about my podcast. As you know, I had to take a break for several weeks, but I'm back now. We're going to try to do it better than ever. I've got some segments today coming up in the show. I'm going to feature an interview that I did with Dan Burke, the executive director of EWTN's National Catholic Register. The interview on my morning show, Spirit of the Morning, had to do with a question that sometimes comes up. If I am receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, do I need to do anything else to have a personal relationship with him? In other words, how could it get more personal than that? I think you're going to be interested in hearing what Dan has to say. In addition, we will look at the Mass readings for today, which is Tuesday of the ninth week in Ordinary Time. And incidentally, if you're listening to this podcast on iTunes or TuneIn Radio, I think the way it's looking, and this has always been the way it worked in the past, you're going to be a day behind, but try not to let that bother you. Try to work with it if you can, because I think there's still going to be a lot of material that you'll be able to get from it. It's something that I have no control over, and it has flip-flopped back and forth depending on what their situation is. The program is always uploaded for the current day on Blog Talk Radio, so if you want to listen to it on blogtalkradio.com, just search for Gary Zimek. You'll be able to find the show there. But when it goes into iTunes or TuneIn Radio, that gets done automatically by Blog Talk Radio, so I don't have any control over that. But at any rate, you're listening to this, so that's a good thing. Also on the show, we're going to have our regular brief feature from the Christophers, Tony Rossi, the communications director of the Christophers, and Carlo Broussard is going to be here from Catholic Answers. So all in all, we've got a jam-packed 30 minutes. Let's kick it off with prayer, and then we'll take a look at the Mass readings. And by the way, before I do the prayer, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to follow me, to invite me to speak at your parish, and to find out more information about the books, including my latest, Stop Worrying and Start Living. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. No matter what we do, Father, we know that you'll love us. That's a really good feeling. There's nothing that we can do to deserve that kind of love. There's nothing we can do to make you love us anymore. And therefore, we just thank you for your great love, for never turning your back on us, for never changing. You're always there, Father. You do not change. Thank you also for sending your Son, Jesus, to live among us, to die and to rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven can be open. Father, help us to break free from the chains which keep us away from you, which keep us from living the life that you would like us to live. Help us to overcome our various vices and sinfulness so that we can grow closer to you and grow in holiness. Father, please accept all of our intentions, whatever we need, and we don't even know. We give that to you. We ask you to help us with that. We ask you to help those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who just feel really low about themselves, who may have committed a sin and feel hopeless. Help them to regain their hope and realize that with you, there's always a second chance. Father, I ask you to speak through me today, to use my voice, my lips, to proclaim your message. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please put an end to abortion. Please increase vocations. And please bring about peace in the world. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, it feels really natural, really good to be able to do this again on Blog Talk Radio. And as I told you just a few minutes ago, and I told you last night, I'm going to try to keep this up for as long as I can. We're going to do it every night, every Monday through Friday, just like I used to in the old days, 30 minutes a day. What I could use from you is, number one, your prayers, because this can get a little challenging sometimes, so I could use your prayers. that number one, I can proclaim the Lord's message, not my own message. Sometimes that gets tricky. And number two, pray that I'll have the strength to be able to continue this and that this podcast will grow and reach many people. Your prayers can make a huge difference there. And again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out more about my work. All right, let's get right into the Mass readings now from Tuesday of the ninth week in Ordinary Time. The first reading comes once again, as it did yesterday, from the book of Tobit, chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. On the night of Pentecost, after I had buried the dead, I, Tobit, went into my courtyard to sleep next to the courtyard wall. My face was uncovered because of the heat. I did not know that there were birds perched on the wall above me, till their warm droppings settled in my eyes, causing cataracts. I went to see some doctors for a cure, but the more they anointed my eyes with various salves, the worse the cataracts became, until I could see no more. For 4 years I was deprived of eyesight, and all my kinsmen were grieved at my condition. Ahikar, however, took care of me for 2 years, until he left for Elimaeus. At that time my wife Anna worked for hire at weaving cloth, the kind of work women do. When she sent back the goods to their owners, they would pay her. Late in winter, on the 7th of Distris, she finished the cloth and sent it back to the owners. They paid her the full salary and also gave her a young goat for the table. On entering my house, the goat began to bleat. I called my wife and said, "Where did you get this goat from? Perhaps it was stolen. Give it back to its owners, for we have no right to eat stolen food." She said to me, "It was given to me as a bonus over and above my wages." Yet I wouldn't believe her, and I told her to give it back to its owners. I became very angry with her over this, and she retorted, "Where are your charitable deeds now? Where are your virtuous acts? See, your true character is finally showing itself." Oh, man, all I can say is ouch. What a first reading. Let's try to unpack it a little bit. What's happening here is that Tobit did a good deed. He took care of the bodies of the dead. We read that yesterday. He was trying to do the right thing, right? Tobit's a good man. And he ran into some misfortune, pretty gross story. Some bird droppings ended up in his eyes. I know, it's pretty disgusting. He developed cataracts, and he couldn't see. So Tobit is having a bad stretch right here. He's having some bad luck. And his wife, Anna, is picking up some of the slack and doing the work because Tobit's blind right now. What happens? She gets paid with a goat. Tobit accuses her of stealing the goat. And this is, you know, this is something that I can relate to so strongly. Tobit, he's a guy trying to do the right thing. And I would like to look at myself and say, I'm a guy trying to do the right thing. But what Tobit does was he makes an assumption, and he doesn't believe what his wife is telling him. So that's a double problem there. He's assuming she stole the goat, and then he's not listening to her when she's trying to explain the truth to her. What happens then? She says to him, "Where are your charitable deeds now? Where are your virtuous acts? See, your true character is finally showing itself." Can't you feel his pain? I've been there, and it's something that I can really relate to. And look, here's what happens. We're going to have to watch how this story unfolds throughout the rest of the week. But just because you do bad things sometimes does not make you a bad person. Tobit's human, like you, like me. We mess up. I can't stand it when I mess up. But, you know, and I hate to say too much, but well, I'm just going to say it. I messed up today, and I got angry at my wife, Eileen. She didn't deserve it. They said some things that were nasty, and I feel pretty bad about myself now. But what happens when and look, it happens from time to time. People argue. Eileen's a passionate person. I'm a passionate person. We both have arguments sometimes. There, I said it. But what happens sometimes is when we do things that are not nice, when we do things that are evil, if you will, the devil's going to get in our head, and he wants to convince us that we're worthless, that we're hopeless, that we can never get any better, that we're no good, that God hates us, whatever. He's going to put all kinds of lies in our head. None of these are true. We mess up. We make mistakes. That is why Jesus Christ, through his church, established the sacrament of confession. We can go to confession. We can seek forgiveness. And the Lord will always forgive us, provided what? That we're sorry and that we vow to the best of our ability to not commit the sin again. That doesn't mean we won't commit it again, but it's just the intent has to be there. You're not a bad person because you messed up. Tobit was a good man. He did good things. But yes, Tobit judged his wife. He presumed something that wasn't true, and he overreacted. He made a mistake. If you are feeling bad about yourself, you might have done something. I want you to go to the Lord today, tell him you're sorry, say an act of contrition, and then get to confession as soon as you can. Confession's a great sacrament. It is necessary for mortal sins, but the church recommends it for venial sins as well. We need to utilize the sacrament of confession. Don't let the devil convince you that you're a bad person. You are not a bad person, okay? That's a really important message, and I feel strongly about it today. I don't like when I mess up, but I think it keeps me humble. It keeps me humble because it makes me realize that I can't be good on my own. And the Lord has to let me fall every now and again. And again, understand, I am not trying to dismiss bad behavior. We have to own it. If we say things, if we do things that are wrong, we need to accept it. And we need to say, okay, I did it. Admit the problem, go to the Lord, and seek forgiveness. It doesn't mean you're bad, and it doesn't mean that you can never change. Don't give up hope. Let's look at Psalm 112. I think it's a very comforting reading, that thing about Tobit. The psalm is Psalm 112. The heart of the just one is firm, trusting in the Lord. Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. An evil report he shall not fear. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steadfast. He shall not fear till he looks down upon his foes. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. The heart of the just one is firm, trusting in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord, and your heart will be firm. You got to trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the message of the world and of the evil one. That message is you're a loser. You're never going to get any better. You're never going to become holy. That's the message that the world might give you, the evil one might give you. It's not the message of the Lord. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Focus on the Lord, okay? He loves you. And with him, all things are possible. Look at St. Peter, right? St. Peter, you would not expect him to be given a second chance. Well, he was. It happens so many times. St. Paul, another great example. Doesn't matter what you did in the past. It matters what you do in the present. The gospel today from Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you're a truthful man and you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were utterly amazed at him. And yeah, they should have been amazed at him because they were trying to trip him up. They were trying to trap him. They had bad intentions, and Jesus gave them an answer that surprised them. What we can get out of this is we are obliged as Catholic Christians to follow legitimate moral authority, meaning you have to pay your taxes, you have to obey the laws, you should vote. There's things that you should do. You have to do that. On the other hand, your ultimate king is the Lord, and you have to serve him with everything you got, right? No matter what you do, you have to serve him. So yeah, the Lord is telling us there are some things in life that he just wants us to do. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to follow the laws And we're supposed to live our day-to-day life, doing whatever duties we need to do. But ultimately, above all, we must give him the gift of our very self. That's something that's very important to remember. And as you go about your day, you ultimately serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the guy you serve, right? Even though that requires you to stop at the red light and pay your taxes and not break the law, you're supposed to do all those things. But in doing those things, you are doing what? You are serving Christ. A lot of great messages in these readings, and if you get a chance, I recommend that you take a closer look at them. Really, really good stuff. I want to take a break now. When I come back, Dan Burke and a conversation we had about the Eucharist. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. One day, as Utah mailman Ron Lynch was making his usual round of deliveries, he got an unusual request. A 12-year-old boy at an apartment complex was reading junk mail and asked Ron if he had any extra. This youngster was Matthew Flores, who would often scour junk mail bins for advertisements because he had no books to call his own, and the library was too far away for him to reach by public transportation. Ron was impressed by Matthew's thirst for knowledge, so he sent out a Facebook blast asking if any of his friends had books to spare for Matthew. To Ron's delight, his post went viral and books began to pour in from all over the world. Matthew expressed gratitude for his newfound library and promised to share his books with other children. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Dan Burke joins us each week at this time. He wrote a great book called Into the Deep. You can get a copy of that at dynamiccatholic.com. Dan is also the executive director of EWTN's National Catholic Register. You can find him online also at spiritualdirection.com. I try to stump him each week, and I've got a question for him this week that I think is a difficult one. Mr. Burke, good morning.
It's great to be with you. Gary, you're a good man, and it's one of my favorite moments of the week.
Dan, I really appreciate you saying that. It's one of my favorite moments, too. Okay, Dan, I got one for you today. Got a question for you. I've heard this one before, and I'm sure you've heard it as well. Why do we need to work on a personal relationship with Jesus as Catholics when we have the Eucharist? If I receive Jesus in the Eucharist every week or every day, can't get any more intimate than that, right? Ever hear that before, Dan?
Oh, of course, yeah. It usually comes from very devout Catholics. Probably in my neck of the woods, in the traditional side of the house, you know, where we have a very, I would say, deeply committed orientation to the Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and a reverent view of all of that. Yeah, so usually folks who say that have are traditionalists, but have a lack of exposure to the Catholic mystical tradition, where we have saints like Teresa of Avila and Alphonsus Liguori are two who both have said that without mental prayer, you're not likely to make it to heaven. And
I got to put the brakes on, Dan. But that was a powerful statement.
Right. Now I'll tell you exactly what Alphonsus Liguori said, who certainly practiced the preconciliar Mass, and he said, "He who prays shall certainly be saved, but he who does not pray shall certainly be damned." He said, "Short of a miracle, the man who does not practice mental prayer will end up in mortal sin."
Wow.
Now, why is this? The reason is, and Teresa said, I'll tell you what Teresa said. This is even more brutal. She said, a person without mental prayer soon becomes either a brute or a devil. If you do not practice mental prayer, you don't need any devil to throw you into hell. You throw yourself there of your own accord. Now, Now she then turns the corner and says something beautiful and good, or a little more comforting, I should say. She says, "On the contrary, give me the gravest of sinners. If he practice mental prayer, be it only for 15 minutes every day, he will be converted. If he perseveres in it, his salvation is assured." So the reason that they both made such strong statements is related to the necessity of an ongoing kind of developing intimacy with God in order to bring about the greatest efficacy of the sacrament. So we can't be in Mass all day, every day. It just doesn't work that way, right? So what is the way in which we maintain a connection to that most holy moment, the source and summit of our faith, that the most powerful moment that we experience as Catholics in our lives, in this life? Well, the way we stay connected is by staying in an orientation of relationship. So to use an analogy and to be cautious based on the age of our listeners, for married couples, there is the height of intimacy is one in the marital embrace, right? Mm-hmm. But, but if you didn't talk to your spouse any time outside of that, that actually does damage to and minimizes the power and the sacramental graces of the marital embrace. So you really need both that high, beautiful, deep experience of union between a man and a wife, but you also need to make sure that you're constantly in conversation and nourishing that relationship so that, you know, when you do have that experience, it's much more deep and rich. So the other thing that these two saints recognized is that daily mental prayer keeps us aware of God. For whatever reason, God has determined that certain kinds of graces won't come with outside of mental prayer. So mental prayer helps to diminish sin, which better prepares the soul to receive the sacraments. It increases grace in the soul. And people who practice mental prayer on a daily basis, which is what is really what we talked about in our discussion on Into the Deep, is they stay much more in the center, if you will, of the narrow way, and they're much more aware of the presence of God, and so they avoid sin. It just creates a depth of relationship that is much more rich, much more ever-present, and much more powerful, and that's the answer to your question.
What a great answer, man! I'll tell you, you just gave us so much to unpack there, but Dan, that's and that's the question that I had always wondered about, because I had what I would consider a pretty major conversion experience in late 2004, and I started going to daily Mass, and I was doing that every day, but I was looking at my life and I thought, you know what? I really don't know Jesus, even though I'm receiving Him every day. Don't know Him that well, and I'm also not that good of a person. What's the problem here? And really, even though we have this possibility for infinite graces in the Eucharist, if we don't really desire them, if we don't have that connection with the Lord through prayer, we could essentially not be receiving all that we can receive, correct?
Yeah, I think that you've got it exactly right. I mean, the Church has always taught that if with... let me just back up. Every encounter with the Eucharist, with Christ in the Eucharist, let's say this one encounter with Christ in the Eucharist is sufficient to make us into a saint. It has that much power.
Wow.
But why is it that some people go forward and partake of the Eucharist and are living dynamic, holy lives, and why is it that others are in despair and, you know why? Well, the difference is, Gary, is what you're talking about. It's the disposition, you know. If we approach recognizing who He truly is, we approach humbly, if we approach without, of course, we can't approach with mortal sin, or that's a grave injustice to God, and it's damning to our soul. But if we approach with, habitual sin on our soul, venial sins and imperfections, we really aren't able to give ourselves fully to God, and thus unable to receive fully the graces that He desires. And so daily mental prayer really tills the soil of the soul and prepares that prepares you for that encounter in a way that you're fully ready or much more ready and properly disposed to receive those graces.
Good stuff, Dan. You always blow me away each week. I really appreciate you hanging out with us on Fridays. Dave?
Yeah,
good stuff.
Right,
good stuff from Dan Burke.
Wow.
Hey, Dan, if our listeners want to connect with you, and I believe you have an email newsletter, is that correct? Can we sign up for that? Where's the best place to go?
go to spiritualdirection.com, and as a matter of fact, let's see if it's on the events page. Yeah, it's not there. Go to spiritualdirection.com and sign up.
Right.
And if you send me an email, I have a webinar coming up this Wednesday on discernment of spirits. And if folks want to be a part of that, send me an email to questions@myavala.com. That's questions at M-Y, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, I-L-A.com.
Awesome, awesome. Great. And you do lots of good stuff on the website. Thank you, Dan, for so much for all the work that you do. And thanks for being with us here on Spirit in the Morning. God bless you, brother.
Great to be with you guys. God bless.
God bless.
Have you ever dialogued with someone who espouses relativism, which says there is no truth, or it might be true for you, but not for me? It's pretty frustrating. Deep down, we know these claims are false, but we often don't know why. Here's the reason. To say there is no truth is a contradiction. The assertion is tantamount to saying it's true that there is no truth. Plain absurdity. Now, the other position, there is no absolute truth, just truth relative to the individual set of beliefs, is problematic as well. The usage of the verb is implies an assertion about the objective order of things. It's the same thing as saying it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth, which of course is a contradiction. No matter how the relativist slices the pie, he ends up with a contradiction, making relativism an unreasonable worldview. I'm Carlo Broussard with a Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Welcome back to the Gary Zimek Show, and thank you, Carlo Broussard. Well, we're just about at the end of the program. Thanks again for tuning into the show. When you get a chance, let me know what you think of the new and improved Gary Zimek Show. I've got more features than I had in the past because I realize that not everybody can listen to Spirit in the Morning, which is my morning show that airs on Holy Spirit Radio. So I'm trying to fold in some of the best interviews that we do. And we've been blessed to have so many great people on Spirit in the Morning. We're going to try to include some of those interviews in this show as well. Send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com or visit followingthetruth.com and use the contact tab to get in touch to let me know what you think about the podcast. And please keep me in your prayers, keep the show in your prayers, and let your friends know that this podcast is available and it's free of charge. I think it's unique. I really don't think there's anything quite like it that's in the podcast, the Catholic podcast world. So again, let me know what you think. And I want this to be your show. You always know my philosophy has always been that I want to provide you what you need. And I really want to help you to grow closer to Jesus Christ and to incorporate your relationship with Christ into your daily life. This is not just about learning facts. This is about getting to know Christ and living with Him every day, because He wants to be involved in the day-to-day experiences that you face. You're not supposed to face these things on your own. So that's the deal. Again, my website is followingthetruth.com. If you would kindly do me a favor, if you are someone who purchases materials from Amazon.com, if you would continue or start doing this, if you could use the link that can be found at my website, followingthetruth.com, there's an Amazon link there. If you click on that, you would greatly help me to continue to produce this podcast and to keep my work going forward. It really is a big help, and it's very much necessary. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but just by using that link to get to Amazon, that helps me because I get a little bit of a commission from anything you purchase, and that can add up. Also, consider purchasing coffee from Mystic Monk Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink. You're going to see that link at followingthetruth.com as well. And there's the donate tab. If you would like to donate to be able to help me to be able to continue to do this work, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Know that you are in my prayers, and I'm here for you. If there's anything that I can do for you, please let me know. God willing, I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Remember, as I like to say each day, that wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. You know what you have to do? Turn around and say hi. I'll talk to you next time. This is Gary Zimek. See you soon. God bless. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.